came and said to them, I'll do my best not to look at my notes because I just want to flow. I just want to flow in the spirit in this session. And I made flow in the spirit. There are some things I will just teach us and then I'll just talk about it. Okay, let's just say I will just talk about it and then we'll begin to look at some things into some things. Amen. Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. Say, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen. So, we said, Jesus gave a vital teaching, instruction that a disciple should know, observation. Teaching them to observe. So, observation is what a disciple is taught. How to observe. Observe how Jesus taught. How Jesus handled the Old Testament books. Observe it. How are the Old Testament books handled? And we said, one way you later interpreters of Moses and the prophets did not interpret the Old Testament books as just a mere book or a book that is going to extinction. So we said, how did they handle it? So they handled it as scriptures, we said that. As scriptures. John 5:39, Jesus will say, you search the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. Right? Paul will call the scriptures sacred scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15, you know the holy scriptures, sacred. Right? Sacred scriptures. They are called scriptures. We say they are also called Moses and the prophets. Moses and the prophets. Now, very vital. They are called Moses and the prophets. Now, we said Moses is singled out because Moses is very important in scriptures. Jesus will say, beginning at Moses. Beginning, that's the word there, Alkei Mosaios, which is Moses becomes that model for us. Model of writing in scripture. So they called it Moses. Moses is called a model of writing in scriptures. Moses is that model. Every other writer was interpreting Moses. Every other writer, not some writer, every writer was interpreting from Moses. So Moses becomes that model, right? Moses becomes a model in writing, in scriptures. And we also looked at this on Saturday. We said, was it Saturday now? Yeah, on Saturday. Was it Saturday or Monday? On Monday. So we said, Moses is also, Moses' first book, right, is also called the Law of Moses. The Law of Moses. We saw that in Galatians chapter 4, where Moses' law. And we saw two laws. What these were laws twice in Galatians 4. Quickly get to Galatians 4. In Galatians 4, verse 21. It says, but it says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons. So Abraham had two sons is Genesis. But he used something, say, ye who desire to be under the law. And we said the first law there is legalism. So all the time you find law of Moses, many times it's not referring to legalism. Sometimes it's referring to Moses' doctrine, Moses' teaching, right? Hallelujah. Moses' teaching. In Matthew 22, Jesus was one of the greatest commandments of the law. What he wasn't asking, what is the doctrines of the law? Do you get me? So the Ten Commandments is not legalism, but actually doctrine. Moses' doctrine, which is now called doctrine of scriptures. Let's get back to Galatians. Now, he mentioned two things there. He says, tell me, ye which desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? You desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? So he brings in two things. You desire to be under the law. He was talking to those who... the first law there was referring to legalism, not Moses' doctrine. Then he said, didn't you hear the law referring to Moses' five books? This is that. So context will reveal it to you, right? So you have to stick within context to know what the law there is talking about. Hallelujah. 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 So he goes and he looks at Moses' law and calls Genesis. He said, for it is written, Abraham had two sons. Abraham had two sons is not Exodus, it's Genesis. Did you see that? Okay, follow me. It's Genesis. So, you have to look at it again. Moses' law is called Moses' doctrine, referring to the first five books. And we said, all through scriptures, you'll find the echoes of Moses. You'll find the echoes of Moses in subsequent interpreters of Moses, subsequent readers of Moses, subsequent teachers of Moses, subsequent writers from Moses. They will all have the echoes of Moses, always, always. Now we said something. We said, therefore, how did Moses write? Well, Moses will use symbols to write Psalm 78. He said, I'll open my mouth in a parable, and I'll utter the dark sayings of old. Say, which we've heard, which our fathers have taught us, they will not hide it from their children. This is that. So that means Moses and the prophet, which is the first 39 books of scripture, was written, right, was written in parables, mostly symbols, figurative expressions. Now we said figurative expressions. Now you find symbols. I told you, when you find symbols used, you have to, or figurative expressions used, you have to ask yourself, what is it pointing to, right? Now, I now said something in the course of the teaching. I said, do not now reduce the 39 books to a book of symbols. Do you see that? Amen. And we said that is what is called reductionism, where you summarize everything to say, this is it. This is everything is talking about this. You are reducing it. Do you see that? Amen. So when you now reductionism, that gospel of reductionism is not from God. Amen. So many times we'll find, I'm just going back to what some things I've said. Many times when you find symbols, or when you find things used as symbols, doesn't mean you now deduce that every time that thing is used, it's a symbol. For example, look at animals. Animals sometimes are used to describe a different kind of men. I would say even Jacob in Genesis 49 described his sons as lions, as wolves, as serpents. He called Dan a serpent, called Benjamin a wolf, called Judah a lion. This that describes a different kind of men. I would also say animals also is also used to describe supernatural beings, the workings of the devil also. Supernatural beings, serpents in Genesis chapter 3, right? Works of the enemy in Luke chapter 10. Hope you're following me. Amen. Describe the faith. But that doesn't mean when you now find animals really used, that sometimes you find animals and it's not trying to describe man. Hallelujah. Or describe anything. It's just a literal animal. So that doesn't mean, because animals are used to describe the same kind of men, I will not look out for animals. Everywhere animal is, it's saying, no. That is not scripture. That is not right or proper interpretation of scripture. Amen. Hope you're following me. Amen. So we looked at the donkey that spoke. The donkey that spoke. The donkey of Balaam that spoke. We said the donkey of Balaam that spoke was not a symbol. The donkey of Balaam that spoke. He said, how can a donkey speak? Hey, that is power. You see that? That's miracle. But a donkey spoke out. You see that? Amen. A donkey spoke out. So you said the also serpent. Now, this is where I came back to a mode of interpretation, which is looking hindsight. Now, serpent. The serpent that beat them in Numbers 21, we say it was a literal serpent. Now, serpent in Genesis 3 was used to describe a supernatural being that had encounter with who? Eve. Right? Right? Okay. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now I'm going to paint two scenarios for you here. Now, and how Paul is now going to use that serpent to talk about something. Now, and by hindsight, now a supernatural being. Now I need you to pay attention. In Numbers 21, a literal serpent beat them. So not a supernatural being that beat them. This is that a literal serpent beat them. So what did Moses do? Moses then carried a brazen serpent. A brazen serpent means a man-made serpent. This is that. And then he carried it and put on the pole. He put it on the pole. And now said, as many as look at that serpent were healed. Now, when you put it on the pole, we say in their culture, in Bible interpretation, you ask yourself the question, how are words used in their world? And words, listen, words will carry both a cultural code, a cultural connotation, cultural context. Do you see that? So you ask yourself, this word, what does this word mean? What does this thing mean in their cultural context? Do you see that? Amen. So you must ask, what is the cultural context or cultural meaning of this word? Now, when things are put on the pole, it's used to show judgment, right? So the brazen serpent was put on the pole. So as men as look up, what did they look up to see? They're not looking up to see Jesus, but they did not know Jesus like that. Do you see that? Amen. Amen. But what were they looking up to see? They were looking up to see that there will be judgment for the serpent. Now, as they saw, so what Moses is saying to them, let's say, for example, Moses came out and saw what has happened. Are people, and they were dying. He says, God has judged the serpent. What is? God has judged the serpent. And so that buttress it to them, say, God has judged the serpent. Believe and you'll be fine. Right? Believe and you'll be fine. And then he puts the brazen serpent up. So as they are looking up, what are you looking up to see? Judgment for the serpent. And you were made okay. But now, who were they looking up to see? They were not looking up to see Jesus. They were looking up to see judgment for the serpent. Watch it. Now, he said, sir, are you not reducing Jesus? No, I'm not. I'm making you learn to interpret scriptures well. And when you interpret it well, you now learn how to apply it well. This is that. So Jesus, by hindsight, so I define what hindsight is, right? I say hindsight means you will look at events backwards, see the significance, and then the application in your world today. Amen. So what was the significance of what Moses did? They were dying, right? Right? So they were in need of help, right? They needed salvation from sickness, right? Remember, healing points to the greater miracle. The miracle of healing points to a greater miracle. I've said that to you over and again. So they needed help. They needed salvation from what has happened to them. So what did Moses do? Moses shows them the serpent that has beaten you, there is judgment for the serpent, right? Then if you take back Moses' words, now take that now by hindsight, so listen to hindsight. Hindsight, oh, there was a literal miracle, right? That means they were delivered from where? Is it sickness? Beating of the serpent? Right? So now, watch it. They were delivered. You go take that back again to Genesis. The serpent is actually what? Supernatural being. Moses is not saying, hey, what is that thing? Supernatural being. No. Do you see that? But you are looking by hindsight. You see the serpent that Moses used as a supernatural being. And you hear that Moses has said, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Now the serpent is biting them. Can you see what is happening? And they were delivered. So Jesus standing in the stead of one who is going to die, because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have eternal life, right? Right? He is standing in that stead. He is going to die so that men would not perish like they did where? In Numbers. Can you see that? So he's standing in that stead. John chapter 3 will now say, as Moses lifted up the serpent. Now he takes their mind back again by hindsight. Now what is the significance of Numbers 21? They were delivered. Right? Right? They were delivered. So he takes their mind back again as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, to see that there is judgment for the serpent that has beaten them. Even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, what is the significance of the serpent lifted up? When you read serpent down to Genesis, serpent will what represent evil. Did you see that? Away from God. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Evil. So Jesus said, like, you find judgment for the serpent, the Son of Man will be lifted up, will be put to death, and in his death, you'll find judgment also for the serpent. And now, as many as look up to see what God has done in Christ, will come back alive. They would not perish, but have eternal life. Do you get that? Do you get that? So, Moses wasn't writing Jesus. Wasn't writing where to see Jesus on the land you need. No, he was writing, and they had miracle. He was writing for them to see God has done this. Right? Right? There's miracle. Jesus is not looking back by hindsight. He has seen the significance of what Moses has done, And then he's saying, as the Son of Man is lifted up, as many that would see what God has done in Christ Jesus will come back alive. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Okay, we'll go further. So we also saw hindsight again. We saw Matthew 1. I told you, Matthew 1, 22-23. It says, and she shall bring forth. This is the conversation between the angel and Joseph. It says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, this is what the angel said. Amen. Stop. Angels don't teach scriptures. Okay, Jeremy. Amen. So the angels won't go further. Okay, following me. Hallelujah. This is what the angel has said. Now, watch the next thing. Verse 22. He said, all this was done. Who is speaking now? This is Matthew. Matthew is putting down the incarnation. Now, I explained this to you on Monday. I said, Matthew is putting down the event of the incarnation, and he knows that the incarnation is God became a man. Right? So the incarnation is God amongst us. John has said something like that because that shows it was a common belief. It was something that they knew commonly. That John has said it, and he said, in John 1, he says, and the word became flesh, verse 14, and tabernacled amongst us. So that means Jesus is God as a man walking the earth. Do you see that? So he knows. Now, listen. Now, Matthew, see what the angel has said to Joseph, who now say, it is written that it might be fulfilled. Okay, follow me. That it might be fulfilled. Which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. God with us, is it the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us? Okay. Did Jesus answer the name Emmanuel? No, I told you, Jesus didn't answer the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel was a description of what the incarnation is about. God is with us. Do you see that? That's a description. So, since Matthew has saying that the incarnation is God with us, so he goes back again by hindsight. This has happened before. Do you see that? And he found it in Isaiah. This is that he goes back again. He found it in Isaiah chapter 7. Where the king, we read this on Monday, where the king needed a sign. Nations were coming against the king of Judea. And he needed a sign. Or he was scared. And Isaiah came to him and said, don't be afraid that their dominion is taken away from them. Samaria, whose head is Damascus, is it? No. That what they are planning will not hold. Then he now says, inquire of the Lord a sign. He now says, will I inquire? He said, no, I can't inquire of the Lord a sign. Then God now said, will you weary people and also weary my God? He now said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A sign that what? A sign for you to know that this plan that they have will not work. Did you see that? Amen. So Isaiah wasn't writing about Jesus. He was writing something within his world. Hope you're hearing me. Now, the king was going to be given a sign by God. Watch it. Was going to be given a sign by God. Hallelujah. It's just as if when God said, I will write my laws in their hearts. Was he not talking about the new birth? No. He was talking about something they could relate with in Ezekiel. They were scattered abroad, and God was bringing them back as a nation. Did God do it? God did it. Amen. God did it. Within that same world. Amen. So, we today will now read it as this is the implication. Hope you're following me. Because many times, just like those guys in my office that said, oh, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are very, you cannot put them in in the pedestal of our pastors today. How can you say that? I don't somebody know. He said that I don't want to be rude. So I just told the person, say, Abraham believed God and was granted for him for righteousness. And I said, we too. And I said, we too. We have faith in the same God. So that same thing that made Abraham accounted, that made Abraham righteous, we have believed the same God. And we too are as righteous as Abraham. And I said, no. Said, you know what you are saying? And I laughed. I said, that same Abraham you're talking about. I said, Abraham killed people. I was like, yeah. I said, Abraham married more than one wife after Sarah was dead. He was shocked. I said, so? But yet, he's called righteous. Not by his works. Little has nothing to boast. But by faith in the Lord. Today we say by faith in Christ Jesus. You won't be wrong too. Amen. But hope you understand where I'm going and what I'm saying. Amen. Let's get back. So, Isaiah wasn't writing for you to see Jesus. No. Wasn't writing that. He was writing something within his world. So, in chapter 8, we now saw that child that Isaiah was talking about is who? Isaiah's own son. You see that? That child that will be called Emmanuel, to be called that name to show that God will be with him. And the plans of his enemies will not work. Right? So this is a sign that God is with you. Don't worry. Right? So what has Matthew done? He has seen the significance in Isaiah. Did you see that? Right? Isaiah. One who was not with a child, none have a child, to show that God will be with them. Oh, someone else, a lady without a child, called a virgin, right, is now with a child. Do you see that? And this is also, what is this implication? God will be with you. Your enemies will have dominion over you. God will, now this one, a virgin, she gives birth to a child, and that child she gives birth to is God with us in the earth. Did you see that? So he has aligned it. He has looked backward. He has seen the significance there, and he's applying it in his word. That is it. Did you see that? That it might be fulfilled. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following that. He's not saying as I was writing about God, about Jesus directly. The same thing to you talk about Psalms. The psalmist writing about his enemy, and he was talking about this enemy that has betrayed him, and then he said his bishopric, right? He said, let another take. I mean, he said his bishopric, let another take. He says his inhabitation, let no man take it in his habitation, but his bishopric, let another take. He reads that into Psalms. Now, the psalmist David wasn't talking about Judas. But by implication of what Judas has done to the Lord Jesus, right? Peter will now stand in the same stead, look backward, look at what Judas has done, and found it in scriptures concerning David. He has seen the implication, he has seen the significance, and then he applies it in his word today. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Amen. His habitation, let no one take, means what he has done, let it not be found amongst anyone. But his bishopric, his office. Now, Samuel will say his office. Let another take. His office. His bishopric. Another will take. Did you get that? Hope you're following me. Amen. We could go on and on and on. Amen. I have a couple of others here, but because of time. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Don't worry. Maybe by next week. By next week. Before we get to Workers' Convention, I would also show you that of Paul too. When Paul will now say, now use, look backwards to and see the implication. And you discover that is what all the writers of the New Testament did. And also the writers will also go back and say that is what the writers of even interpreters of Moses did. Look at the implication. Look at the implication, look at the significance, and then you apply it in your word. That's what we do today. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So the man that carried 5 stones and said, the 5 stones that David carried to kill Goliath and say that 5 stones is Jesus is just saying rubbish. But you know that there's a way you can apply it to your word and you make you read that. You're looking up. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very simple. But now he's not saying, I'm not saying the 5 stone means JESUSO. That's even rubbish. I'm just saying there's a way you can apply what Moses, what David, the conversation or what happened between David and Goliath, and they apply it to your word today. Hallelujah. That is just it. Glory to God. Hope you are with me on that. Let's get into some other things. So you must look at the application in your word today. Also, let's look at something very vital that Moses wrote about. We started looking at it on Monday, is heaven and earth. The implication of heaven and earth. So I won't go further from where I just get back to what I said on Monday. I'll just pick it up from where I stopped on Sunday. So what I did was I said something about it on Sunday, went on Monday to do some explanation around what I've taught you on Sunday, and back to where I stopped on Sunday. How about that? Amen. So we said the heaven and earth. Heaven and earth means order, right? God's order. That's what I said. Heaven and earth means order. That's what I said on Monday. Means God's order. Order. I also said to you that when he said the earth without the heaven, chapter 1, verse 2, Tohuwa Bohu means confusion, means vanity. It means empty and void, yes. It means confusion, disorder. So, God. The natural and the supernatural in the same place is called God's order. God opens up in a supernatural. I mean, the Bible opens up in a supernatural world context. Yes, I said all that. I'm also going to say something again. I said, well, yeah, heaven and earth, right? I know what we said. Heaven and earth speaks to the temple. It's not wrong, right? What God, I told you, what my friend, Sunday, years back, we usually do call it like, he said, scriptures, when the prophets speak, they speak about things now and then speak about things in the future. Well, I can explain that better to you. Remember, it's not something to throw away to. You don't throw away the baby and the baby in water, but that's true. Now, when he says heaven and earth, we say it speaks about what God is doing in the earth. Right? What God is doing in the earth by implication till today. Right? But is it what God is doing in their world at that time? Yes. Because we said Genesis is answering both the questions in their world. Right? It's answering questions in their world at that time, patriarchal world. And that is why we said he gave voice to the woman in Genesis. You find Moses was loud about what the woman said than what the man said. He did that on purpose. Amen. So the man had sigao, codified silence. So he now gave voice to the woman. Right? So it's not like he said what the man said, it was the woman that said no. What he did was that he toned down all what the man said and loudened what the woman said. Do you get that? That's what he has just done. Amen. To make you see the significance of man and woman in God. Heaven and earth means temple. I told you that. So God is building his temple in the earth, right? So he's showing them God is building his temple in the earth. The first place, the first activity you found is that man was put in God's garden to dress and to keep it. You see that? In God's garden, God's presence, right? God's presence, God's garden, God's presence. What am I following? God's presence. To dress and to keep it. So he kept man there, temple, right? Hallelujah. And what will you find in the temple? Man and woman in the same. Man and woman in God's temple. In Genesis 1:27, created them male and female, created he them. So man and the woman will be found in God's plan. You see that? Amen. Amen. Now, number two is that, okay, so he said, the heaven and the earth. So we said the heaven and the earth is used to talk about God's plan in all the earth. All the earth. All the earth. That's what I mean. All the earth. Now, and what is God's plan in all the earth? That every man will be found in his heaven, right? So God wants to make the heaven, the earth, his heaven, his dwelling place. That's what we said, right? So the first activity we'll find given, first structure we'll find given to man is that what? Man would have dominion, subdue, replenish the earth. And that was why I came in. And I asked the question last week, right? Let me re-ask the question to see if we still remember. How was the gospel ministered in their world? How was it ministered? Because you remember he's talking to the children of Israel and then he says, subdue, replenish the earth. Right? So how would they subdue? Now, we said that is God's task in all of the earth. Right? And will be carried out by the man in his image. And the man in his image is called son. And Israel is called son. Hope you're following me. That shows you Israel's role in the nations of the earth. So how will Israel achieve it? No, we always say that, but we'll never ask ourselves the question, how will Israel preach the gospel? Yeah. Through what? Because God is going to use what is available in their world. War. Hope you are with me. So it's through war. They will subdue nature. So now, here it is. Now, I told you that is why if you watch our teachings in the past few years on CRC, I've been trying to explain that to us. Subdue. Now, we'll read it as, you know, the writers of the New Testament books will call it, will fight. And we'll call that fight prayer. Right? Prayer, right? You set out in that fight in prayer and take territories. Now, how will they take territory? Because they have these territories. So, by conquering kingdoms, and that is why I said to you that Moses also gave them that room where you can have one who is not an Israelite by birth that became an Israelite. And that's how they would make people Israelites that were not originally Israel. When they conquer the nation, right? When they conquer the nation, how would they now become? They conquer the nation, that means you are now my slave, right? So they will bring you in. How would they bring you in? You will now be circumcised. Did you see that? Hope you're following me. So Moses now gives that tenet, or that, how would I put it now? That order. How am I thinking now? Now give that order for how you can now become an Israelite. Hope you are with me. So, you take over territories by what? Subduing them. Right? Amen. So, by implication today, when Jesus said, preach the gospel, you find Jesus praying, find that also in it. Amen. Taking over territories. Hope you are with me. Hope you are with me. Because war in their world, it's not just about who is stronger. It's about whose God is stronger. How about following me? It's about whose God is stronger. So warfare is first of all a fight of supernatural beings. Amen. A dispelling of darkness. Don't miss it. Hope you are with me. Amen. So the cultural context has changed today. How should I put it? What has evolved? You need to fight wars to know you can cast out demons. So by warfare, you were casting out demons. Hope you will be. Amen. Hope you're following that. Let's get back. So I just said something. I said something else that you must also see. Now heaven and earth is temple, right? Something that you must also see was Moses was telling them to be conscious of something within their world. I'm not going to dwell there today, but I'm going to dwell there next week. Was telling them to be conscious of something within their world. What was that thing that was conscious that they should be conscious of? He's trying to tell them that. He's also telling them that heaven and earth are in the same place. Now take note. This is God's task in the earth. I'm giving you two layers of meaning. Of that same meaning. Heaven and earth. This is God's plan. Right? Now you've always known this is God's plan. But though, before today, you think it's God's plan to be carried out by us. No, so before us, which is the new creation man in Christ Jesus, before us, every other person were not working in God's plan. No, that's wrong. In God's plan. Hope you are with me. God's plan. So what is God's plan? That's subduing the kingdom. Hope you are with me. So Moses was writing it for them to see. This is God's plan in the nations of the world. So Moses was writing, demonstrated by giving them 70 elders to represent 70 nations of the world. So that is God's plan. Hope you are with me. No nation. God, this is God's plan in the nations of the earth. Hope you are with me. Hope you are with me. Now stop. Moses, by that also, is telling them to be conscious of something that was within their world, that the heaven and the earth are in the same place. We look at heaven and how heaven is used all through, right? The Old Testament book, to see that heaven is used by Moses to demonstrate what is within, a space within the earth. Now we say it's not a distance, but it's a distinction. It's not a distance, not a distant location. No, it's just a distinction. It's distinguished. Right? But the heaven, the supernatural, and the natural coexist. So you have a handshake. Right? They say, well, so what is Moses telling them? Moses also, by implication, making them see that the supernatural is within and around them. That is why, because they have to be conscious of the supernatural around them. If not, if you're not conscious of it, you won't have the experience. I spoke to a pastor friend yesterday. We spoke for about more than 30 minutes, and we're talking about this season, these things. And then when I was done with him, I switched over to my friend Tunde, and then we had the same conversation. Tunde, we had the conversation for about 41 minutes. Anyway, so we had the same conversation. I had the same thing. When you're teaching some teachings like this, some messages like this, you just stay around people that you know are there. Right? So you just have conversation. In fact, this morning, I had the same conversation with another pastor in the office. But we started off from somewhere and then we got somewhere. That it was, was it Sunday that actually also pointed out this chosen stuff? Pointed out this thing is around. Just know people. I know, okay. So there are some people that I know. If I want to, I learned this from Pastor Shegu. If I'm teaching on leading of the Spirit, that people will come. It's not that I'm calling them to teach me. I'm calling them so that I just stay around those things. Amen. There's just something about staying around those things. Amen. Just to build your spiritual intellect in those things. Just allow them. Some people are just stay around them. A lot of the time when you begin to talk Emiloko and the rubbish life. No. Since I'm teaching this, you just stay around some things. Amen. What I mean Emiloko, I'm not attacking a person, I'm talking about politics in general. So you don't miss me. Amen. So you don't miss me. It's politics in general. Amen. Pastor, what is now your party? Pacifier. Right, just leave party. Party has gone. Next 3 years will come back again. We'll be at the polls. But now it's the work of the Lord. Just like when window was closed, you know, some Arsenal people rested in my hand and mind you. When window has opened again, you will receive it. Butu. They were happy they won 7-0. To whom? People that even my office guys. In fact, women, St. Pavilion boys will flog them. 30. You see how the rubbish do? Even we, this will have double hat tricks in that game. Oh, he's number 9. He'll just be scoring the goal. This one, he will dribble everybody in the midfield. It's that one caught him. And they are happy 7-0. You should hide yourself in shame. Amen. These were my boys that met them. They will receive. Yeah, Pastor, you have boys. I have boys now. At least.
Nobody senior
none. Only the coach as senior. Amen. Yeah, my boys. I can call them my boys. You can never see me call Ronaldo is my boy. How? He's my senior. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's get back. So, the implication there is, even for talking about heaven and the earth in their world. Amen. So, it's also writing for them to be conscious of the supernatural within their world. Is that what it is? Can you see that too? The supernatural were within their world. And now, I said this, that was why I called them. Is the fact that many times, the reason I said this too on Monday, I said the reason why someone that asked that question, either that, okay, that same day, I guess someone asked the question that it looks as if we saw some of those raw experiences in the Old Testament and we're not seeing it today. See that what has changed? What has changed is we no longer talk about the heavens and the earth in the pulpit. We no longer talk about the supernatural things. And Pahagin will say, if the things of the spirit are not taught, they'll be lost. Amen. They are not taught well. So what we have made sometimes around are just an adulteration or some piece around. But you know, if we teach the things of the spirit more consciously and more deliberately, we'll have the same experience that they have. And I said, I'm going to show us that they had the same experiences in the New Testament. And it was as wild as it was in the Old Testament. Very vital. Amen. And we can have the same experiences today and have the same results today. God didn't change. And I gave us an example. Those of you who have been in church for a long time, I said there's something we usually do talk about then, I can feel the power of God burning like fire. Right? We talk about it. I can feel the power of God burning like fire. I can feel it. Woo! Now, for some people after a while, they stop having such. Why? Because we toned it down. Amen. I was taking my bath some few days ago, and when I came out, I was just thinking about this teaching about, and you know, there was something that the Spirit of God just dropped in my heart. And what it was is, you will be so full of the world, right? And then you would also be full of the power. Because here is it. These are two, and I shared it with one of my pastor friends. That was yesterday night. And then we just spoke about it. And here's what he said. Now, we have the balance. I don't like to use the word balance because my pastor wouldn't use the word balance. But there's I'm dealing too much on my conversation yesterday, but it's part of the things I'm teaching today. Sunday, my friend said this one. He said, watch those people who stay with theology very well, who want to be theologians. And I've heard this from Pastor Sheldon. Now, he said it to me yesterday, and I was laughing. You know what? He said, watch them. That they become, I can't remember the word he used, but he said they tilt to one side, right, and then they pitch a tent somewhere. He said they will pitch a tent somewhere, and a tent for arguments. Now, when they pitch the tent that way, they will forget the power of God. Now, he says that because they are always used to, let's interpret it correctly. You get me? So they become so lethargic that they forget power. And that is not what God wants. God wants us, listen, God wants us to understand the letters. Right? But don't miss the power. But what theology sometimes does is that you go one way, you become one-sided. Now, Pastor Ego will say something, which is my pastor, he will say this, he will say, many times, some of those theologians, once you are a pastor, he will always tell us, you are a pastor, you are not a theologian. And it's good for you to understand Bible interpretation. Right? But what theologians do is that they pick up a tent for arguments. And that's what my friend said. So I was laughing yesterday when he was saying, that they pick up a tent for argument. They can just come and say, like I shared with us, those of us in Wima, I shared with us about someone I belong to, I used to because I left it. And it was because of the trend I was seeing around. Now, a group of theologians. So I discovered that this lady, the owner of the group, was always talking about, let's go back to the word ecclesia. Go back to the word ecclesia. The word church was giving the history of the word church, how it came out and how it's demonic. The word church is demonic. Let's go back to ecclesia, ecclesia, ecclesia. So I sat down. I read all articles. So I now put up a defense. You guys helped me to put it. No, I wrote the defense for people to read, right? Later on, after I've done it. I now put up a defense. Is that what I wrote for you guys to? I asked you guys as a question when I've already done the defense. I asked you guys a question from what the person said. So I put up a defense. And that defense attracted people commenting, liking it. You know, you'll now be feeling like a theologian. Rubbish. Because it was a pure defense. And I got that defense from some of the materials I used to teach Bible hermeneutics in Wima class. So I dropped that defense down on how she was wrong. And not just that she was wrong, but on the fact that when you are talking about ecclesia, get back to ecclesia. Ecclesia is cutting from another word, quara. So why am I going back to Greek when I can also go back to Hebrew? Let's just cancel. Let's just cancel the other. Let's just be calling it quara. Abi? He said, no. So a lot of people took my stand, endorsed it. So we were happy. Now, sent me friend requests. Now, that was where I was not skeptical. I was not scared. Because each of them that were agreeing with me, when I went into their own theological material, I could puncture all of them. What do you say? You just see that they are all one-sided. I call it, they are hypocritical. Hypocrite. You are fighting this one, whereas at this point, you are being naughty. Biggest. I looked at them, I just left. And I rejected all their friends because I left. I can't have such kind of people around my space. Because I'm a pastor. I'm not a theologian. Hold on with me. I'm a pastor. And as a pastor, my pastor has told me, you must watch the implication of words. So there's a way you cannot stand with some people, and before you know, you begin to take a particular stand. Hold on with me. So now, there's a reason why we have to interpret scriptures correctly. Right? But at the same time, to E.W. Kenyon will say something. He said there's the legal part and there's the vital part. This true experience is vital for the believer. You cannot go for the legal, which is the legal part is you are staying with context, intest, pretest, post-test, out-text, this test, everything. But your brochure is power. He said, no. The Greek word for power is dynamis. That is prayer is the word, and you're not praying. Do you see that? You are one-sided. Amen. You know the word, but you don't have the power. Do you get it? Now, that is what theologians you have around theology. I didn't say theology, I said theologians. Right? Now, that's what they have among many theologians. Let me not rob all of them. Many theologians. They lack that power. They don't have that power. But you know, God wants us to have all experience, both the legal and then the vital. Hallelujah. God wants us to have that experience. Not, you know, because of your two, just listen. Now, this is what theology does to people. I mean, theologians do to people. And somebody is talking and say, I was going. I had an experience with an angel. An angel joined me and showed me. I said, angel me? Where? No. You get, the theologian is not thinking. No, actually. You get? Amen. Another thing that theology does. See, the Lord healed me from cancer. I say, Lord healed you from cancer. Is there salvation there? Just like the question you ask. Something you. Is there salvation? Where is the salvation is pointing to? There's that experience. Do you understand? Amen. The salvation is pointing to when people come. You don't point them to salvation. But hey, have the experience. You can be healed. I say, can you ever shall be he? What is he going to point to? Is it your business where he's pointing to? Amen. I can be he, literally. You get me? Literally, I can be he. And I believe God for it. And I'll see it happen. Do you get it? Amen. You can see it happen. So there's a leader, there's a divider. And God wants us to have, rich experience in the two. Okay, with me. And the moment we begin to downplay the vital, the workings of the Spirit in and amongst us, we won't have the experience. That the things of the Spirit becomes alien to the believer. I'm going to tell you how to get into the flow. How to get into the flow. Really, God? I said this with my friend one time. I said, do you know how that, since I stopped talking about the move, angelic, whatever, I stopped having such kind of visitations. I do have angelic visitations. I've had several. So those of you who are close to me, let me just say, I've told you about years back when I had a vision where how my hands started burning me. I started having this burning sensation in my hands. I had a visitation. And the one that was working by myself held my hand and I was shouting, my hand is burning. I basically was laughing. Right? And I woke up, I had that burning sensation. Amen. So I told us on Monday, you'll be having all these things that I teach. We'll be having all this. Amen. And I now said to you on Monday, I said, if the Lord open your eyes to see what that thing is that you feel as burning sensation, you will run. Just the same way, what's the name of this guy? Elisha's servant didn't know that they had chariot of angels around him. And he was just seeing what he was seeing. If you know what that is, I said, you'll be laying hands like Femi. You lay hands, go to Astro Rock, lay hands on everybody. Yeah. Because you know. Amen. Come on, because you know. You may ask me questions. I spoke to them about speaking in tongues. And I said, speak in tongues. And they couldn't just speak in tongues. Okay? If you know what you carry, you lay hands. Because you know, because you are conscious of it, you lay hands, the person will carry it. Whether the person likes it or yes, the person will carry it. Because you know what you carry. Amen. You know what you carry. You lay hands. We're going to have in this school of the Spirit, we'll have that experience here. What we get is a long teaching. I said, I'm going to teach this. I will start teaching it on Sundays after I'm back from Kaduna, Sundays and Thursdays till Believers Convention. We will have the experience every meeting. I will look at, I told you, I'm taking a diversion, right, into the Spirit amongst us, right? I'm going to divert the Spirit, but there's another part I'll take next year, which is, there's something called the negative supernatural, right? And how to handle it, but we'll just divert this way this year. Amen. 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 So that means we can have rich experience. That's what most, they should be conscious of the supernatural around them. Glory to God. And that is why before the temple experience, before Moses now illustrated a temple and gave them a tabernacle, they had experiences with the supernatural. Amen. Because the temple didn't make them supernatural. The temple was an explanation of what they have around them. This is that. Amen. Remember, I was talking to them as people, together. And then I write to them heaven and earth. That means they can have the supernatural experience with them. And when he now is associated with the temple, he now makes you see that the temple is what God is doing amongst them. He said, I will dwell with them. I will dwell amongst them. Exodus 25:8. So let them make me a temporary, that I may dwell amongst them. You see that? So now when you pick that into how Paul will now explain the temple, he will now say, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? That the Spirit of God dwells. Right? Don't know that the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 3. You are. They are guardian. He calls the gathering the temple. Right? Right? But before then, what has he spoken to them about? He said, you are spiritual. And now shows them, you are the temple. So that means the temple, right? The temple is a spiritual reality. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. That's why I call them spiritual. Things of the spirit. Things by the spirit. Spiritual. I'm taking you, right, we're still going back to some experiences they had, but it's not tonight. It's not for tonight. And we're going to look at those experiences, and we'll have, I pray, that's what I pray. And I'm preparing and teaching you on these teachings. I've been fasting. Praying for all our meetings to year end, and I'm praying for all our meetings plus this meeting to year end. That's what I've been praying for. We're having this rich experience. Hallelujah. So I'm taking my time to teach. Glory to God, will have rich experiences. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have these experiences in our midst. You know, most of it, when people hear about things of the spirit, the first thing that comes to mind is rejoicing. Alone. Things of the spirit. Tongues and interpretation. That is all they know. Things of the spirit. But there's more. Hallelujah. See, tongues and interpretation is the doorway. Is a doorway. It's not all about supernatural experience. It's not all. We can have rich, we can have supernatural experiences. Amen. Amen. Experiences in the place. And I mean, we'll have experiences where we'll see literal fire and everybody will see it. Amen. And it's not feeble. Sometimes we try to use our head to imagine it. No, this is no imagination. We'll have such experiences by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we'll see it in our meetings. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when I'm saying this, as I'm saying it to you, don't be scared. You will have visions with angelic beings. You will, in the course of this teaching. You have it. You have visions of the Lord Jesus. He will appear to you. He has stopped appearing. Says who? He has stopped appearing to people. Says who? Says who? Who? Is it in the scriptures he has stopped? No. Amen. Amen. You can have experience. And say, so because when we begin to sing that song, experiencing today. In a special way. See, let me tell you one truth. My friend said this years back. That there's no way you can, as long as you like stay 200, stay 900 years, you can't have all the experiences and know all the experiences with the Holy Ghost. There's always a new experience. There's always a new experience. There's always a new experience. So don't shut your mind. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. Glory to God. Oh, my time is up. But let's see this, and then I'll answer questions. So let's see this. So when Paul now writes about the temple, he now writes about the temple and calls the temple supernatural or spiritual. When he told them, don't you know? I mean, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto dead. Right? And then he now says that gathering, he says, the Spirit of God dwells with you. He has said it in chapter 2, verse 12. That you've received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. And I know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak, not in words in which human wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He now said in chapter 2, I couldn't speak to us unto spiritual. And now said they are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So spiritual means the things of the spirit. When you say you are the temple, our gathering is called temple. So that means if it's called temple, right? That means we're going to have spiritual. Or that we can experience the supernatural in our gardens. In our gardens. That is called temple. We're going to see it. I want you to have that in your mind. In our midst. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at their experiences. Now remember, the temple was to point them back to their gathering. That God is with them. Right? So that means we're going to look at what happened with them. What happened with them. Hallelujah. All true from the time they left Egypt. And we'll see that we can have such experiences in our midst. Hallelujah. We can. We can have such experiences in our midst. Raw ones. Hallelujah. We can have such experiences. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I'll share this as I go. We can have it. If I tell you how this thing is doing me, it's doing me like we should just end Sunday session, but I can't. Because Sunday session is for a reason. Yeah, I can't. Glory to God. But I'll show you something. When it comes to the things of the Spirit, right? There is no shutting of your mind. Don't shut your mind. Hallelujah. Don't shut your mind. Be open. And don't be stereotyped. So some people are just stereotyped. Some people even rehearse what they want to say as tongues and interpretation. How? Lord, my dear. Me. Who will react it? You will mount and you will mount. Everybody you are meeting, you will mount and you will mount. You will mount and you will mount. You will mount and you will mount. Oh. Amen. You know that after this teaching, the first thing I want everybody to learn, when we get into it, is the fact that you can just be here. And I will tell you, and somebody asks, what's the Spirit of Lord saying to me? You won't even budge. You won't even voice to say manaba. You know you won't bold. What is the Lord saying to me? You will just, I'll just, it's out of it. You will be able to respond immediately. Because you're always ready. You're always in the spirit. You know? I see you lost network. You're not looking for network. There's no glue network here. Malaba shata laba kata baba baba baba. So yes, the Lord, you see. You know, there's something about being rusty. When a believer begins to get rusty with things of the Spirit, it will show in how you respond to the things of the Spirit. Here you go. What the Lord says, say, sir, don't think I can get it. You are rusty, bro. My rust gone. Amen. You have rusted or you are rusty. But you know, when you stay in tune, you will just, and I'm teaching, you can just go. Hallelujah. Amen. So you start having open vision. You know the open vision? Just the same, and then you just see something. Hallelujah. In the course of this teaching. And it's not stop to continue. Open vision. What did I just say now? Like open vision. You see it. You have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't be scared. Be open. I experienced God in my lifetime in different special ways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember one time in school, I was about to sleep. I told my colleagues, my roommate, I said, nobody should touch me. They're like, how? I said, they usually are very funny in school. Guy, don't sleep too much. You came to school to pass. Or he came to school to so we'll disturb us. I said, please. I told them constantly, please don't touch me. I'll be like, why? I said, because I want to have a supernatural experience. That's what I said. And I lay down. And I had visions for hours. You know, when I woke up like this, when I was talking, all of them were scared. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That prompted me when I came back. I thought one series like that in my house. Long. Something about knowing some something. I'm trying to remember. Long years ago. That was like 2009. Amen. Amen. Because I knew then I was in my second year. It was a long teaching. Amen. Amen. Is it second year or third year? No, it was my third year. Sorry, I was my third year. Son, my third year. Class. First year was here. Second year was here. I'm using my rooms to know my years. First year was now. Second year was here. Third year was here. So it was third year. It was here. It was my third year. Amen. You can have supernatural rich experiences with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now we're open for it.
Hallelujah.
Open for it. Open much more. So we'll see that the temple, how Paul will not describe the temple. They had those experiences together before Moses even gave them the temple to point them to what they had those experiences. And then we can have the same experiences today. I'll close like this. So I said, many of us, because there was that emphasis on that, yeah, because I knew then I could spend time to teach about the burning sensation. I don't even know today. I don't even know how I taught those things. But people had it. And it's in our midst. If I had Sammy Jeff gather people at that Protestant church and lay hands on them and they saw literal things. Amen. I don't know what they were calling it, deliverance or what were they? No, I know they did call it deliverance, but they were lay hands. People were falling literally, people were rolling on the floor, people were shouting. They were having it because there was an emphasis on it. But the moment you stop that emphasis, look at what happens. Some people even stop paying attention to the burning sensation. Did you see that? And I showed you that by just being conscious of it, you can just have it born immediately. Like I'm talking to you. Amen. So it shows you, like, you just got conscious of it and then you feel that sensation all over you. So that the sensation didn't leave, but you were not just conscious of it. Because the supernatural and the natural is not a distance, it's just a distinction, right? It's not a distant place. So the supernatural is here. Right? We are in his temple. That means we are in, though we are in the natural world, but we are in the supernatural world, in the natural world. So the supernatural is natural to me. Hallelujah. I'm there. I'm operating right there. Right there. Hallelujah. Amen. So I could explain the same thing that they did. Right? Right? Flow the same way. Have encounters with the Spirit of God. The same way they have. Hallelujah. Let me entertain questions if you have any questions. Any questions? No, don't cut it through. The question is part of the teaching. Any question? Around? Nobody? Something you want to ask as to what I've said? I know the questions will begin to reduce because I'm going away from the teaching part and I'm entering practical. Anyway, but you have any questions? They think you need me to talk about. Amen. No questions? So let's be on our feet. Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. So I trust the Lord that from